Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to be a part of today's broadcast, we encourage you to do just exactly that. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. We would love to hear your question on this edition. 844-322-2742. Give us a call right now. Well, guys, it is a relatively sad day around the Davis household because, and I know that many animal lovers across this country or wherever they're hearing this program will empathize with me and the fact that I had to basically put down my 18-year-old little friend Mickey today. My
wow.
Black and white kitty cat that my wife Diane and I adopted many, many years ago. So he had served his life, and so he is now gone.
Well, 18 years old, that's a long time.
A long time.
For a cat.
Yes, 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 indeed. And I know it's very special to you because it was Diane's cat.
Indeed.
And so when she passed away a number of years ago, you've kept him, and it's always a reminder of her and just how much you loved her. And
indeed.
So our condolences to you, my friend.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Well, today we're talking about a great verse in John 10:10, and I posted a tweet about this. If you are on Twitter, you can follow me at RC Christopher Jr., or you can follow Basic Gospel at Basic Gospel RDO for Basic Gospel Radio. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Twitter person, we certainly encourage you to follow us there. But the post is this: Jesus Christ came that you might have life and have it abundantly. So I ask the question, in what ways has your life become abundant since you were made alive with Christ? If he says that he's come that you might have life, well, that happens when you experience new birth in him. You're made alive together with Christ. That's why salvation is much more than forgiveness of sins. And so many people out there are just living with half the gospel. They think that Jesus died for their sins and that's it. Well, that's not the full gospel story. Jesus died. He was buried. On the third day, he was raised back to life. And all of those have meaning. So he died to take away our sins, to release us from the law of sin and death. He was buried to put an end to that old way of life. He said, it's over. It's done. That you're buried with me so that you can be raised to walk in the newness of life. And that's the process of being regenerated. That's the process of being made alive together with Christ. So now that we have life, and it's his life, it's Christ's life, in what ways has being a Christian, being alive with Christ, manifest itself in abundance? And that's the question on the table. We've had a couple of people already respond to us on Facebook, and I certainly appreciate that. Raleigh wrote, I noticed that even as I'm under grace, I still fail and fail and fail. But these failures propel me to places I could not achieve with my own strength. Mm. So a lot of times our failures are the very things that help us understand that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Mm-hmm. And as we grow in our dependence upon Christ, and that's what it really means to grow in Christ, is to grow in dependence upon Christ, that grow in your reliance, your trust, your faith in Christ. And as you do, you will see more and more of his life being lived out through you. So, Raleigh, thank you so much for that. We certainly appreciate that. And then Donald wrote, the ability to love all no matter what happened or didn't happen. And I think that's just brilliant right there. Apart from Christ, we can't love people. We certainly can't love God. And we can't love people as God has loved us until we have received that love ourselves. And we receive that love when we receive the life of Christ. The Holy Spirit pours that love into our hearts, and we start to see that love being manifested out there. And that's how we experience this abundant life, in community, with people. Love isn't something that can operate in a vacuum.
Right.
I think that's why, you know, God created us. We hear that question so often. Why did he create us knowing that we're going to sin? Well, he wanted to love us. He wanted to create some people in his own image that he could love. It's as simple as that. And so we did, and he was willing to take the risk of us choosing sin, which Adam and Eve did, but that doesn't deter him from loving us. And he so loved us that he sent Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel. So when that love hits our hearts, then this abundant life is really characterized by love for others and the joy that that brings. I mean, there is great joy in loving people and serving people and investing in people and seeing the results of that over time. And it does take time. It does take time, but it's well worth the risk. And I think that's where the abundance of life is really experienced. Richard, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I love the way you're describing it, because what our Facebook friends told us and what you've said to us is applicable to absolutely everyone. Anyone who is a child of God can learn more about the love of God and express it to others, can learn more about forgiveness and express it to others, can learn more about the gospel and express it to others, and this whole thing grows and grows and grows. But if you get stuck in thinking, well, this must mean that I get a car, well, that's not applicable to everybody, and it certainly isn't applicable to me right now. I would love a new car. But
you need a new car.
I need a new car, but I'm content with my car. My car is a miracle car. And I don't, I'll tell that to anybody. It's running and running and running. And as long as it runs, why would I waste money on something that's going to lose half its value the moment you walk out of the showroom?
Yeah.
In the meantime, God continues to work on me to be patient and kind and loving to other people. And the payback from that is infinitely greater, because it's absolutely applicable to everyone. It's not just some of us who get this stuff. It's all of us who are children of God get this, because we are fellow heirs with Jesus himself.
Yes, indeed. So if you're out there listening today and you want to share your story of how being made alive together with Christ, how that has manifested itself in an abundant life for you, we would love to hear from you. If you're out there struggling and wondering, I sure wish I had an abundant life, but I'm not sure how to experience that.
We can tell.
You come in as well, and the number right now is 844-322-2742. So go ahead and call. Be a part of today's broadcast of Basic Gospel.
And, of course, Bob Christopher is here. Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're here, friends. And as you make your April gift to support Basic Gospel, this Basic Gospel message, we'll send you our Simply Grace gift package. Now, this is going to underscore exactly what Bob was talking about. It contains three excellent resources to truly drive home the fact of redemption and new life available to everyone in Christ Jesus. It includes Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, two CD messages, Drive the Stake and Eternal Life, and these resources answer long-held questions about what we receive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we outsend the grace of God? Are we freed from the law? Can I be assured that my life in Jesus Christ is real and permanent? It's all part of the Simply Gospel gift package, and so just request it when you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to send you a copy of this wonderful packet, the Simply Grace gift packet.
Yes, indeed. And we hope a lot of people will take advantage of this resource, especially the book and the two CDs.
Yeah.
It just, the book is my story, but it really delves into, you know, what is real repentance. You know, that was a formula for me, and it never meant anything. I went through that formula time after time after time, but it never did anything for me. And then I finally figured out you can't reduce Christianity, you can't reduce repentance to a formula. It's much bigger than that. It's something that's brought about by the Spirit of God through the grace of God. So it answers questions. It makes you dive a little deeper. It challenges some of the long-held religious traditions. And you know, a lot of us fall into religious ruts. Well, this is a package of information that will lift you out of those religious ruts and allow you to freely walk down that road called the way of grace. And so we want to get this to you. We want to get this in as many hands as we possibly can this month. So take advantage of it.
It's Simply Grace gift package is yours when you make your April gift. And again, you can do that at 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. Well, we've had several off-hours calls come in. Let's listen to one of those calls right now.
Hey, you guys. I enjoy your show. It's March 3rd. I just heard your show on CSN International. That guy was talking about praying in tongues. I'm not talking about abusing it like most Pentecostal churches do, but Paul specifically talks about prayer language also. And when the other guy there, Bob, I think his name is, anyway, he was on Mike Kessler last summer a few times. Even Mike Kessler has his prayer language, private prayer language, and you guys skate around it for some reason. I don't get it when Paul specifically talked about it. And I've heard you guys a few times talk about the mark of the beast, which specifically says is real. It's not a figure of speech. It's going to be like what Hitler was doing to the Jews, except deeper. Anyway, I'm just confused. Take care. God bless. Bye.
Hey, we just got called on the carpet.
Well, yes, I think so. I think so. Well, as far as a prayer language is concerned, I mean, the only passage in all of the scripture that even hints of that is in 1 Corinthians 14, and it's verse 2 through verses 5. And it says this, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Now, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up." So this is where the idea of a prayer language comes into play. And it's interesting, if you read that passage out of the Message, which is a paraphrase that was done by Eugene Peterson, I believe, here's what he says, or here's how he paraphrases verse 4 and 5. The one who prays using a private prayer language certainly gets a lot out of it. But proclaiming God's truth to the church in its common language brings the whole church into growth and strength. So Paul isn't denying that folks might have a prayer language. He's just saying there's something more important. And what's more important is the building up of the church, not building you up, but the building up of the church. And that's what we were just talking about as far as the abundant life is concerned. It's in the community. It's loving one another. That's where the abundance of life is really experienced. And that's how he prefaced this particular chapter. Let me show you a more excellent way. That more excellent way being the way of love. Yeah. So some people will say, hey, I have a prayer language and I use it in private. Well, that's great. Well, not everybody has that. Mm-hmm. So if that's you, praise God for you. Just keep it with you, because it has no meaning to anyone else. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. It has no meaning to anyone else unless it can be interpreted and be beneficial to the whole body. So that's what he's saying here. Richard, do you have any thoughts?
Yes. You have to look at the whole letter of 1 Corinthians. What's it about? It's about a church that is tearing itself apart because they're competing over everything. Yes. They're competing over the Lord's Supper so that people are excluded. And Paul, over and over and over and over again, is saying, there's nothing of value in what you're doing. This is about Jesus, and it's about his body on earth. So when we look at the various subjects in 1 Corinthians, including spiritual gifts, don't cherry-pick phrases here and there and try to create a theology out of it. Look at it in the context of, if I am practicing this way, am I hurting or helping the body of Christ? If someone else is doing something, are they hurting or helping the body of Christ? And it's not hurting or helping on based on my private interpretation. It's hurting or helping based on the gospel. Because remember, when he gets through with chapter 14, he concludes this letter with this ringing endorsement of the gospel in chapter 15, and then moves on to talk about the importance of resurrection and that we're all going to be changed. And so keep it in context, and I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, and I think your point here, the competitive nature that was happening within the Corinthian church is being seen in today's church.
Absolutely.
So somebody that says, I have a prayer language, oftentimes is making a statement that he's more spiritual or she's more spiritual than the person that doesn't have a prayer language, mm-hmm. that doesn't have that. And you're saying, absolutely not. Why? Because we're all equal within the body of Christ. We're all children of God. We've all been saved in exactly the same way. So we don't have to worry about that. We've all been made righteous in the sight of God. So we should all treat each other with a sense of humility.
Yes.
That, as Paul wrote in Philippians, not to consider yourself higher than someone else. And I think that applies here.
Yes.
We need humility when it comes to these things. So what Paul is saying is that there's a greater gift, and that's the gift of prophecy. Why? Because it builds up the body of Christ. That's what love is all about.
Absolutely. Great answer, guys. And this caller, I hope this has been a ministry to you, and you'll keep listening and calling in.
There was a second half to his question,
okay,
which was the mark of the beast and Revelation.
Oh, yes. Right.
No, Revelation doesn't tell us exactly what the mark of the beast is.
That's right.
It says in the forehead and in the hand. It doesn't say it's credit cards. It doesn't say it's Facebook. It doesn't say anything like that. Well, although some people could argue
right.
any of
and
that
if
stuff.
If you read the entirety of Scripture, mm-hmm. marks on the forehead talk about belief, talk about
yes.
the thinking. They talk about what's going on inside. The mark of the hand is in doing.
Yes.
So in thought and deed. So we're going to be marked out by that. So
yes.
if you're marked out by the Lord, you have a renewed mind, you have a new heart, and your deeds follow suit.
Absolutely.
If you have an unregenerated mind, then you are
follow suit.
You're living in unbelief, and so your thoughts are going to be different than what somebody that's been regenerated.
Yes.
So we have to realize that.
And as a child of God, you can absolutely be guaranteed that you will not get the mark of the beast because you have already been sealed by the Holy Spirit of
yes.
God. It is impossible for you to get the mark of Satan. You belong to Jesus, and nobody can have you.
You've already been marked out by him. That's good news.
That is just good news, yeah. Friends, I want to remind you that the Basic Gospel app has just about every feature you could possibly want. Lots of folks are already using it. I hope you'll download it if you haven't. You can do that, of course, in the App Store. Another call that came in off hours. Let's listen to this.
Hey, Bob, this is my first time to ever call into your show, and I was just listening to you, and I just could not get over how much I've enjoyed listening to how much you guys love Jesus Christ. It has just made my drive home so awesome. And I just want to tell you that I've really enjoyed listening to you, and thank you for that. And may God bless you. Take
wow.
care.
That's nice.
Well,
that's
we love
nice.
It awesome. that folks listen on their drive home. We're grateful that we can be a part of their daily commute back from work back to their home. That's just a blessing to us.
Indeed, it is.
We certainly appreciate people like this calling in to offer a word of encouragement. And boy, that's a ministry into our lives, isn't it?
And we're really glad that how much we like Jesus is getting translated across the airwaves.
Yes,
because we like Jesus. We love Jesus. There's
that's
nothing
right.
else but Jesus here,
without question. Well, this call came in from Diana. Let's listen to it right now.
Hi, my name's Diana, and I have a question. I went to visit a relative of mine in Terre Haute, Indiana, at an apostolic church. When they were preaching, they said, we have an evangelist that we're going to show on a film preaching from Texas, and we're going to watch that. And he said, well, I just got one thing to say. If you're going to sin, make sure you sin and do it the right way, but don't do it the homosexual way. Well, I was pricked in my heart, and I started crying, and I said, that ain't right. And the whole church, the pastor, the assistant pastor, and all of them, they just laughed and laughed hysterically. And then the pastor, after the film was over with that evangelist from Texas, he stood up and he says, well, I agree with that. And some of the men in the church said, amen, amen. So I got up and I walked out of the church, and I wept. I cried. When I got home, I just prayed, fell to the floor, and I just prayed and prayed, because I don't believe sincerely God doesn't sin is sin. But I would like to hear what you got to say about it, and I thank you so much. God bless y'all. I love you in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.
We appreciate hearing from you, Diana.
Yes. Well, Diana, that is such a sad, sad story to me.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, you're 100% right. Sin is sin. And the good news is that God has already dealt with sin, that he condemned sin and sinful man in Jesus. And he did that so that he could free us from the law of sin and death. He did that to reconcile us to himself so that we could be in relationship with him. Now, that offer is available to anyone and everyone. That's the good news of the gospel, that it's universal in scope. You can go to any person on the face of this earth and say exactly what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that he was reconciling the world unto Christ or unto himself in Christ, and he's not counting your sins against you. That's the good news. God is not counting any person's sins against them. Why? Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And in that is new life in him. And that is such a powerful, powerful story. So for somebody to laugh and jeer about somebody saying, don't do, you know, if you're going to sin, do it the right way. That's just ridiculous words to begin with.
Yes.
And don't do it the homosexual way. That is, it's just disgusting that someone would actually utter those words.
Yeah.
It really is disgusting. And it does harm to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you think something out there is doing harm, I guarantee you it's words like that that do more harm to the cause of Christ.
Certainly.
Why?
Did to Diana.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It made her weep, and it makes me weep as well. It is just heartbreaking that people don't know the story. And it gets back to exactly what we said at the beginning. Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. Well, that's the real issue of salvation. God has already dealt with the sin issue. The underlying problem is that we were dead spiritually and that we need life. And so that's the message that we need to communicate, that life is available in Jesus' name. And once somebody is made alive and has been given the gift of the Spirit is going to start to renew that person's mind.
Yeah.
And to move them in different directions. We can count on that. So do the world a favor. Present the gospel the way it is. Deliver the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Offer people hope, the hope of new life in him. So, Diana, you're exactly right. Sin is sin. The good news, God has dealt with it once and for all in Jesus, and now he's making his life, Christ's life, available to all who will receive him.
Absolutely. Diana, we are very glad that you contacted us with this particular issue. Hope you'll keep listening. Well, friends, three excellent resources, all contained in the Simply Grace gift package, are yours when you make your April gift to support Basic Gospel. They're the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and two wonderful CD messages called Drive the Stake and Eternal Life, resources that can deepen your understanding of the grace we've received in the love and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Request your Simply Grace gift package when you click donate at basicgospel.net or when you donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, and that's available 24 hours a day, or donate online at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.